Here we are, the final daf of the Masechet Bava Kamma, daf Kuf Yutet, Perek Asiri, Gozer Lumachil, and here come our good friends, and we don't even have coffee for them. But there's a good reason for that. But Nadiv made you all fancy coffee, was waiting at the house for you to show up. I told her she shouldn't get up early for guys like you, you'll never make it. But no, she's got faith. But Richie wasn't here, and Yaeli didn't show up, so we don't have the coffee either. So what do we do? All right. But if you want to set it up now, you can. It's the same idea. Oh, the beans. We spilled the beans. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, and we're at line two. Velo mishomrei peirot. So the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to buy from a stand of somebody who's been appointed to watch over an orchard, and he's selling these pieces of wood and these fruit on a stand. Very suspicious. Rav was zaven shabishta me'arisa. He went ahead and he bought these piles of twigs from someone who was an oris on a piece of property, or was a sharecropper. How did you buy it from him if he's selling maybe the owner of the property's wood? Omarlei, note that the Mishnah only says a shomer, hanimila b'shomer, because the letle b'gufa the aramile, a shomer doesn't own anything, man, but an oris, the itle b'gave, an oris, however, is a part owner, essentially in the produce, right, because it's a percentage, is given to a sharecropper. So why should we assume that what he's selling is stolen goods? Ema bina nafshe komasbin. I can be seinek, or at least be tailed, that what it is that he's selling of his own. Tana rabbana. There are cases, just like we saw in the other elements of the Mishnah, where we have a right to assume that because of the mode or the amount that's being sold, there's no way that the guy would do it in this fashion if he wasn't authorized. So let's say a guy's got a stand on the side of a road in which he is selling with a scale set up, a cash register. This is not a fly-by-night job. So shomrei pirot lo krimiyam kishen yoshvim u'mochrin vasalim lifnehem v'turtani lifnehem. They've got these big scales over there and they've got everything spread out, and it's clearly a display that's not something you can put up and take down in a minute. So then they know that they can easily be caught. The owner can drive by just like anybody else. There's no way that this is stolen goods. But of course, if they say, don't let anybody know where you bought this, you know, so a kulon shamru hatmei, then it's us. Furthermore, you can only buy when it's in the open. So it's at the opening of the garden that's exposed to the street. If it's in an alleyway behind, that's the same as the situation where a guy's saying, keep it quiet. Itvar. Gazlan me'imad mutar liknot himen. Somebody's got a reputation for stealing, and, I mean, obviously he sells other things as well. It's not only a gun. There's always some cover of goods that if they come to check, he can show you the receipts. I mean, so what point is a store considered to be a stolen goods store, and at what point is it a store that you have a right to buy from? So it says here, according to Rav, Rav Amarachite Rov Mishalo. You need to have most of it being legally owned merchandise, and then you can be tailor that what you're buying is from the Rov. Shmuel says, as long as you know that there's some legal stuff there, afilu miut mishalo, since over here anyway, it's all a chashash, and you know for a fact that this miut is vadai okay, so then you could be somek that what it is that he's selling you even is from that miut. And the actual psak halacha that was given to Ada, who was a famous daila. Daila is a butler. This is dole. He brings things for you. And he worked for a lot of the Tamei Chachamim. We find him mentioned again and again that over there would be mutter to buy even if you're samech on the mute. How about a masur? Now we know that halacha is somebody who gives over money of Jewish money to goyim. We call him a masur, as if he's the one that was given over to the goyim. Well, sometimes referred to as a moser, but oftentimes it's referred to as the masur. And you're allowed to be morid such a person. Moridin biatay means you can actually kill him. So what's the din of his money? So Rav Yehuda argue. Chadam mutar labdo biyad. You cannot destroy his things, according to one mandiyomer. The svar that it would be mutter is very obvious. Mandiyomer mutter labdo biyad. I mean, if you're allowed to kill the guy, I mean, so lo ye mamono chomur megufo. So why would it be any different? I mean, if you kill him, you can certainly kill his money, so to speak. But mandiyomer asur labdo, there's no connection between the two, because duma habele zara ma'alya. I mean, when you kill him, you're only killing him. But when you take his money, you're killing his kids. I mean, you can't. How do you know that maybe he has good children? Or maybe three generations from now, they'll have good children that could have used this money. And Dilma Havile Zaramaya, Uchtiv. And indeed, the Torah says, as Eov points out, Yachin Vitzadik Yilbash. This guy, he's a Rasha. He goes ahead. It doesn't say Yachin Rasha. I mean, that was sticking in because of the context also before the, the whole parak is referring to Ish Rasha. But he will prepare. So with his life, he spends his whole life in a rat race collecting money. But he doesn't get any of it. It goes to his children in order that they should be tzaddikim. Maybe 10 generations in the future, that money will come to the tzaddik who will be lovesh.
Is it stolen money?
No, it's not because... No. He's not...
Stolen money?
No. The issue over here is not that he has money that isn't his. The question is, we saw earlier, actually, the same discussion. It could be ma'ame, that was a guy, be a rode. But over here, talking about a masur, where there you can kill him. So can we be more machmir on his mamon than on his guf? So this mandiyomer is, we don't know which one, but this mandiyomer is saying you can indeed be more machmir on mamon than on gufay. Rav Chista, Avilei Ahu Arisa, David Tokyo, V'yoyiv Tokyo, V'shokyo. Rav Chista had a particular sharecropper that would work with him, who used to weigh and would hand over to Rav Chista, and then he would weigh and would take himself, and he was very, very careful, and he would take precisely his chelek and no different. So that's how Rashi learns. The question is, the Gemara then says that he was salke. Rav Chista got rid of him from the property. Korah anafshe, Rav Chista called on about himself that he would be the tzaddik, and the Oriz would be the Chote, and was trying to take away the Chelek of Rav Chista. So it was Kor HaLanafshe, the Pasuk that Tzafun LeTzadik Chel Chote. Why he called him a Chote? So some Marsha learns that he didn't use the same weights. He was very medactic, all right, except that the part that he took for himself was slightly heavier than the part of Shmuel, which was why he had a right to be Mesalik him. Others say that the meaning is that he took the same amount for himself and for Rav Chista, whereas Lamaisa and Oris is only supposed to take 25% or a third, but not a half. Then it says also on the same topic in Eov, Kimatikvat Chanef ki yivtza ki yeshel Eloa nafsho. What is the hope of this hypocrite? Pretends to be honest, and he's actually a botzea, he steals, for God will be yishal, will throw out, and trap it in a net. It sounds like God will trap his soul and throw it out. So how do we read the pasuk? Ravuna Rav Chista, Chalama Nafsho Dinigzal, Chalama Nafsho Shal Gazlan. One says that what happens over here is that when he's taking money, he's actually stealing souls. And this is a reference to the sugya that we just had, because the money actually is the support of the generations to come. So when he's taking away, we're going to get to this, that the pasuk actually refers to his own children in the end. So when you are stealing from somebody, it's like you're taking his soul. That soul now will be removed from you by God, is what the one possibility is. It would be the nigzal's soul. As the other mandiyomer says, no, God will take the soul of the gazlan. Now, each has a raya. We don't know who says what, but Ravuna Rav Chista. So one says it's the nefesh of the victim, and one says it's the nefesh of the gazlan himself. So mandiyomer nafsho shel nigzal. Where do we see that the victim is considered to have been desold by taking his damim, which, of course, dam nefesh, also are interrelated. Yeah, damu and nefesh, damim. So then it means that taking his money, you're taking his soul. Where does it say that? Ah, it says, Kein orchot kobotzea batza et nefesh be'alav yikach. So this is the approach of everybody who cheats and steals. He takes the soul of the owner. So that's mashma, that he's taking the soul of the one whose money he took. Was madiyom nafsho shel gazlan, dichtiv, there it says, al tigzal dal, don't steal from the weak just because kidalu. Val tadake ani b'shar. And why? because ki Hashem yoriv rivan v'kavat koveyim nafesh. So God, what seems to be saying over here is, God will take the nefesh of those who stole from others. In which case, by extension, we could say that the meaning of the pasuk yishal Elohan nafsho is that God will take the soul of the one who steals. Ask the Gemara. So, I mean, basically we have psukim that prove both directions. So how does the other one learn that pasuk? Idach nami. Achtiv nefesh be'alav yikach. Does it not say that the gazlan takes the soul of the owner? No, that means the current owner. Meaning that he's losing his own soul in taking this money and making himself the current owner. So my ba'alav ba'alav the hashtag. But it doesn't mean that the gazlan has taken the soul of the ba'alim. Vidach nami, what about the other man, the Omar? Does it not say v'kava et koveyim nafesh? Does it not say that God will take the soul of the one who had stolen? No. It's saying, matam v'kavat koveyim, mishum dekavi nefesh. Why will God punish those who stole? Because they stole by taking the soul. So God will take back that soul from them, but it doesn't mean that they are the ones whose soul will be taken. Om Rabbi Yochanan, the truth is, Kalagoza let Chavir Shavar Pruta, Gilonotonish Matomimena. He too darshans the pasuk that way. You take even a Shavar Pruta, it's murder. Shnemar Kin or Chot Kobotzea Batza, et Nefesh Bialavika. He understands that to mean the victim's soul will be taken. The Omer, furthermore, this is what going to ask later, why do we need a series of psukim that all prove the same thing? The other pasuk says, in Yirmiyahu, it says, V'achal k'tzircha v'lachmecha yochlu, if the guy goes ahead now, he takes your kotzir and your lechem, he's eating banech uvnotecha. He's eating your children. So in other words, what that means is that he's basically stealing the souls of the generations to come. V'omer, furthermore, it says, Mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafchu dam naki b'artzam. So apparently, this is considered to be the dam naki. Furthermore, it says, El Sha'ul ve'el beit hadamim al asher hemit et ha-givonim. Now, we know perfectly well that Sha'ul never killed any givonim. Doesn't say anything about that. But we see that God considers them to have murdered because they deprive the givonim of their parnasah after killing out Novir ha-kohanim, and the givonim who used to work for the kohanim now no longer had a parnasah. So you see that that's considered to be killing them. So we have now a series of psukim all showing that depriving parnasah, taking money, is considered to be murder. So why do we need each one of these rayas? Maiva omer, I'll tell you. V'chitem, and maybe you'll say that first pasuk that says ken orchot kol botzei abaretz nefesh betza nefesh ba'alav yikach, that's referring to nefesh didei. It certainly doesn't refer to nefashot of generations to come. Nefesh banav uvnotav lo tashma. B'sar banav uvnotav. Maybe you'll say, okay, but I mean, how about if he forces you to sell? But he pays you. So he's called a chamsan. So technically, that's a gezela, but lamais, it's not the same because the money is given to you. So v'chitem hanimi leichad lo yoiv dami. Aval leichad yoiv dami, he's not considered to be a murderer. Tashma, mechamas b'nei Yehuda. So here we see a chamsan generally refers to somebody who takes but pays. And there it says, asher shafchu dam naki be'artzam. So they too are considered to be murderers. V'chitem hanimi leichad tekavid b'yadayim. You'll say, okay, that's if you actually do it. But if you just cause a person to lose money, avogurama is not going to be murder. No. Ah, tashma el shu'u ve'bit adamim al asher mit et givonim. Now come on, eicha natzir sharag shu'u et givonim el mitok sharag nov ira kohanim. Since nov ira kohanim was destroyed by Sha'ul, and nov ira kohanim was the source of the givonim's mayim u'mazon, ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu horgat. So now we see, 100%, not only have you killed the guy, it's like you've killed his children, and even if you do it by akifin yegorim, a person loses parnosa, if you look at that as murder. Avalokhim min hanashim, the Mishnah continues to say that you can buy certain things from women and in certain locations, which are considered to be the norm, that this is what a husband would allow or expect even a woman to go out and be selling. And therefore, it's clearly with his permission, it's considered to be stolen goods. Tenarabban, lokhim min hanashim, Klei tzemer b'Yehuda, klei pishtan b'Galil, as it says in the Mishnah. Avolo yenot, shmanim v'slatot. There we assume they've taken from household goods and they're selling. V'lo mina avadim, v'lo mina tinokot. kid sets up a lemonade stand, and it isn't outside the house. The parents don't know about it. You figure it's all stolen goods. You know? He's stealing lemonade. It's costing the parents 50 cents a cup, and he's selling it for 5 cents a cup. It's a great business, but it's also gezeila. It's only for our vodim. Abba Shaul Omer, Isha, you can, an Isha is allowed to actually sell a chatchila, 4 or 5 dinner. That her husband isn't marked on. So the Baal expects her to be able to buy a new tichel, you know, by selling some stuff in the house. So that you'd be allowed to buy. But never, when they go open up the lapel of the jacket, they would make you a deal. You can't refuse, but you can't tell anybody. And it's always us. Yeah. It's like the classic picture. Furthermore, if they present tzedakah to the gabaim, so again, I mean, the gabai also could be cheshish, maybe she stole household money or they have it stolen, but you're allowed to take a little bit. People that are working now as the processors of the olives that people bring in, you can bring, you go, zeitim b'mida, b'shemen b'mida, a large amount of olives from them, because that they can't hide. They can always sell a little bit and expect a person won't realize that they kept back stuff that they shouldn't. You're allowed to buy from women zeitim in the Galil Elyon, because actually, pa'amim adam boshlim kor al petach bito. It often happens that a guy does not want to sell to make it look like he's fallen on hard times right at the door of his house. Some of the gears here bimuat, not bimoed, which makes more sense. And he asks his wife to, you know, sell to people, and therefore you could be tailor on that. We saw that in all of these cases with a suffix, you can be tailor that it's okay. And therefore, since it happens at times that people do this, so natan lishto mechered, you can buy. Ravina came to Bnei Bechuza, and the women from Bein Mechuza, Romu Kame, Kavle, Vishiyare, and they're throwing into the tzedakah box over here. Ravina, you know, the Chacham comes to town, everybody wants a little bracha. They're throwing in gold necklaces and bracelets, you know. And he's walking away with a lot of loot over here. And the question is, Rabbi Tosfos said to Ravina, how can you walk away with that? I thought, Latanya Gabait, Stakam, Kablinium, Davar Muat. They sure don't look like a Davar Muat to me. I'm like, this is Borough Park, man. Borough Park, this is a Dover Muad. Somebody notices this, a gold bracelet you throw in. They'll just ask their husbands to buy another gold bracelet. I don't mean that. So, Hani, Livne Mechuza, Dover Muad Ninu. It's all relative. Our dear president. Mochim Shakoves Motzi, Are Elu Shelo. So, when that the dry cleaner, or in this case, the washer, collects all that little bit of fluff out of the dryers, you know. And he's got so much lint he can actually make felt from it. So that would be okay. That harel shalom. The owner is usually not makbid on the dryer lint. Of course, in those days it was after you scratch the material and so you get a little bit. We'll see how much what's considered to be normal. If you're a sorek, and the sorek was the dry cleaner. So that already is a lot of material that comes out because they didn't have any way. They couldn't wash the gadim that were made out of wool and so on. So they would renew the beged by combing it, but that would remove a lot of material. And over there, it belongs indeed to the Baal HaBayit. Koveis, noter shlosha chutim veim shalom. Now, furthermore, the koveis was allowed to take 3 chutim along the edge of the material, because what they would do, they would add always a little bit on the serge to be able to pull the material for cleaning purposes. And we'll see that the norm was that you would sew loose the edge of the material, put a piece of wood through it, and that way you could stretch the material out, and that the weaver would always allow a little bit of extra in order to have the material pulled. And the koveis, when he's given that, do it the first time, he's allowed to actually keep that and cut it in order to make it smooth at the end after he does his job. So he's allowed to take shlosha chutim, but yet to make it. If it's more than that that was stretched out, re'el shabal abayit. Im haya shachor agabe halavan, if the edging of the material, they used black threads. Now, oftentimes, you see when you buy material, the serge is a different color, and it really doesn't match very well. So over there, I mean, the guy really doesn't want it. So in that case, what's going to do with it? So there it can be no telatakol, and they belong to him. They belong to the guy who's doing the final cleaning here. Hachayat sheshiyer atachut kidei litvorvo umatlit sheshlosha shlosha hare elu shel ba'alabayit. Now you've got a tailor, and a tailor has left sufficient thread hanging from the work he's been doing that it's able to be used by the householder for thread, which is valuable in those days. So that belongs to the balabayit. And if he's got leftover pieces of material that are large enough to make 3 etzvot by 3 etzvot, which is the shear of chashuv material, as a rag, so that belongs to the balabayit. Masha charash motzi b'ma'atzad areilu shelo u'bekashil shebalabayit. Same thing is true. A carpenter. So you're bringing out materials to the carpenter. You order now the closet. So you are not going to be makpid when he planes down the wood on the thin slivers of wood that he can keep. But something that he cuts off a large piece of wood to be miasherid, that belongs to the balabayit. But in maya oseitz al balabayit, if he's working in your house, so then anisarim shal balabayit, in that case, he has no right to take anything. It should say nasoret. That's the actual, the sawdust. So over there, even the sawdust belongs to the balabayit, unless they make another arrangement. If it's in his shop, and you brought the material, then that's the nafkaminis that we made in the mission. Tanu rabbanan lokhin mochin menakoves. You're allowed, therefore, to buy small pieces of material from a washerman, mipnei shein shalom. And the koves is notal shnei chutim elyonim. Oopsie, that's a problem. Because the Mishnah said 3 chutim. Here it says in the Brayta 2 chutim. We're going to ask that later. So he's allowed to take off the 2 upper chutim, and they're his, in order to be able to get the material even after he stretched it out. But the loops that he makes, that he's going to be putting now the piece of wood through to stretch the material out, he's got to be careful not to make those loops too strong. Because if they're too strong, and he puts the weight on it, the material is going to stretch. And he's going to be pulling out too much and damage it. That he's not allowed to do. So what can he do? He can only put in a maximum of 3 needles passing through. We're going to see exactly what that shear is. And that way, it's not all that strong. So if you pull too much, it'll snap the loops rather than stretching the material. That's what he's allowed to do. These, of course, are removed afterwards, but this is for processing. V'lo yisrok ha-beged l'shetayol. Furthermore, when you're doing now the combing of a dry cleaner, you cannot go in the direction of the shti. You have to go in the direction of the orev, which is thicker, and therefore it's less likely. It's going to wear the beged down by going along the orev. U'mashvinu la'orko. Furthermore, when you make now, you've got the areas where the loops were, that is stretched out. So when it's stretched out, you're going to have to cut in order to make it even. But you make it even along the length. Avalola rochbo, because that's going to be now the area that isn't visible, and nobody's going to know. There's no reason to cut the material. Bimbala shvoto atefach, b'shai. If you need now to make it even, even if you need to cut off up to a tefach, that would be mutter. Now, wait a minute. You just said 2 chutim. I thought we learned in the Mishnah 3 chutim. No kasha. Habi alime. If you've got thick threads, then you can only take off 2. Habi katini. And then you can take off 3. V'lo yisrok ha-begel ha-shetyo elo la-orvo. The bride is claiming that you have to go in the direction of the orev, but v'tani yibcha. It says exactly the opposite. Yes, depends what we're talking about. No kasha. If you're talking about a galima, which is basically your typical blue, jeans. So you're wearing jeans, something you're going to wear every day. So over there, you've got to be careful because you don't want to make it too thin. It's going to tear. So you've got to go, therefore, if you're wearing a sarbala, a galima, you've got to go in the direction of the shati. But if you're talking about the sarvala, in the orif, because the shati is going to easily be worn down. He's talking about a sarvala, which is something that is worn very rarely. It's a beautiful kind of smoking jacket kind of thing. So what are you going to wear it on Shabbos, Yantiv? So over there, it's going to be nicer to go along the direction of the shati. And there, as a dry cleaner, you've got to do a better job. And you don't have to worry about wearing it down because it doesn't go into dry cleaning very often. Lo yitobo yoter mishlosha chovin. When we say you can't put in more than 3 needles worth, now, what does that mean? If a tailor is a mumcheh, he's going to go through a couple of times before he pulls. So, is that all called 1 needle worth? So he makes a couple of loops, and then pulls tight at the bottom. But the truth is the loop itself is going to have a few threads every time it loops. Or do we mean actual threads? So if you went through twice, that's already two threads. What's the shear the mishnah is giving? Take. It's already... Look at the diuk of the Gemara and the Tanayim and Amorayim on Geneva. I mean, I remember when Levrach had the dry cleaner over here. Right? He used to have over there in that corner, right by the where there's the, I think, the ice cream store now, the Tzadik Deli. Unfortunately, it was Nifta Young, only the good die young. But Shlomo Seidman is the diuk, the kind of questions he used to come up with in the dry cleaning. It's mamish, like straight out of the Gemara. What exactly is, you know, it's considered, what is damages? What is Ichayav on? That's the derech of Tzadikim, to be makved mamish on every chut. That's exactly what we're talking about over here. It sounds like hair splitting. And that's exactly it. It comes to other people's money. When you're talking about stealing their soul, okay, you darn well better hair split. There's always little bits of issues in No, there's damages that you can cause. There's stretching that you can cause. It's a question of what temperatures you might be damaging the chutim, but it's the same type of issues. Is it better to get a nicer result, even though it's going to weaken the chutim? That's exactly what our Gemara is dealing with. What are we more makbid on? What is the customer ultimately? What do we assume that he wants? Is he willing to suffer the damage over a period of time to his baguette, or does he want you to be more careful about the baguette but give him lesser results? Those types of questions are very serious questions for dry cleaner. But it says just the opposite. Again, obviously, it depends on the case. I mean, if you're talking about a belt, so then it's the orach that's not going to be noticeable. If something is used along its orach, which is then bent over, and it's the rochav, it's the thin part that people are going to notice, so then that's the part that you have to cut. If it's the other way around, then that's the part that you have to cut. Use your brains, basically. As we said, the sorek is going to be taking out a significant amount of material. That's not just the dryer. What is it called? In the dryer, what do you call that?
The lint.
That's not just lint. That's already actual piece of material. So you're not allowed to buy that from a sorek. It's not his. Of course, lokhin. Places where people are not makbid. So over there you can. Ubechol makom lokhin mehen kar malei mochin. The keset milei amochin. These people often will sell you pillows. And those kind of things were filled with pieces of small material that you might assume were stolen. And that may well be true. But you're still allowed to buy something like that. My time at Kanana Bashinoi. You can be samech that it's a shinoi. Now, even though Lamaisa, it seems to be a shinoi achozel avriyato, and we were makban on a shinoi achozel avriyato to call it a non shinoi. But since over here it's really only a chashash of gezela, so we're samech over there even on shinoi achozel avriyato, and then we're makhmer where it was a gezela mamish. Tana Ramanan, ein lokhin mi gardi. You bring something into a weaver. So you're not allowed to buy from him the irin or the nirin. So the irin is the little tiny pieces of wool that you use to stop up the shuttle to prevent the entire spool from falling out when it's thrown. And you have the same thing on the tzad, on the nir, that holds the chutim in place along the chassis. Also, oftentimes you put a piece of material to steady the threads. Those pieces are provided by the customer. He doesn't have a right to keep them. So you can't take that from him. And you cannot take the punkalin, which are also pieces that are made for a different type of, where you're making now draperies. Veloshiori pekiyot, also you often have at the end of a spool of thread, have little leftovers. You can't, he's not allowed to keep that. Avalokhimian, beged minumar. If you have now a beged, where you can see has been put together all kinds of different pieces of thread, that he's now clearly, I mean, you got all types of pieces that are mixed in them because, I mean, you say, well, I mean, how come 1 inch of it is red and the next inch? Like a patchwork quilt, here we're talking about actual, but same idea. So there too, it's a shinui because he turned it into a baguette. And you would be allowed to buy from him also. Erev, Shasi, which is Tavui, and Oreg, and Imre, something that needs making from the pieces that he's had. So he would have to actually do some spinning where people brought him small pieces and he's now spun it into something bigger or turned it into a baguette. What do you mean, man? If you said you're allowed to buy thread that he spun, so kosher cane, you're allowed to buy a whole baguette. That's orug. So orug, me boy. And orug means tiki. Tiki is not spun. Tiki is ropes that you just put, take the wool, you turn it, but you don't spin the actual threads and then mix them into the wool. So these are two different things. Either threads or rope is basically what he's saying. And I don't get it. And then you say also, Tanur Rabbanan, Ein Lochim Min HaTzabayim, the same situation from a dyer. Now, what happened with the dyer is that the owner would bring material. He would take little pieces of material to test the dye, because you got to see if the material is going to get wrecked by the dye, whether it'll take the dye properly. Furthermore, the owner will often bring the dyer a sample of what he wants the material to look like. So he'll bring a little piece, say, I want you to dye this color. You cannot buy from a dyer not otot and not dugmot, because you have to assume that it was brought to him. Pieces were brought for testing by the customer, or people were brought as a dugma by the customer, and I was trying to make a little extra money on the side. No, obviously not today. But, I mean, remember what, you know, as the Gemara said, you know, as Ben Zoma said. You know what Adam Rishon had to go through to get himself a suit? I mean, you're talking about for one suit, like 5 years of work, you know? You got to sit there, you got to plant the material, you got to, I mean, had to do all this himself. I mean, it's such a beautiful Gemara, whereas I, with one click of the mouse, the suit is delivered the next morning to my doorstep. He says, it's amazing. I have an entire planet at my fingertips, and he had to do it all himself.
Well, he had a better restaurant.
Right? Really? Early on, right? So, I mean, it's really amazing. You see that? You see at the time, Ben Zoma says it's in Chagiga. It's unbelievable. I mean, Ben Zoma didn't dream. What we have, I mean, it's mamish.
Suits off the rack?
No. You can get the suit to your measurements delivered the next morning, because your measurements are already online. So my son mamish does this. Clicks, and he gets a vest the next day. I went back to the best tailor. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're talking about, you know, 100,000 man hours of labor that you're paying nothing for, ultimately delivered to your door. Okay, it's hard for us to even consider what this means. But when a rag meant, I mean, you're talking about 2 days of work to get a rag, you got to be very serious about not taking a man's soul in his rags. So enough, you know? So it says the Gemara over there, you have little pieces of wool that you're not allowed to take, but you can take an entire suit that is now dyed, or tavui, and begadim. I don't get it. Again, it's the same thing. If you can take a tavui, that means that you're even allowed to buy thread. So kol sheken, you can take begadim. Why are you even mentioning it? So begadim, mi boy, again, people will bring raw wool for dyeing. So how do we know he didn't keep the raw wool? But here, even if he did, if he turned it into threads, he was cutting with a shinui. Well, obviously, if he turns it into a baguette, he was cutting with a shinui. Says the Gemara, no, when it says begadim, it's talking about material, it means felt, namti. And a namti never goes through the stage of being turned into threads. He just presses the raw wool. So we have two different things you're allowed to buy. Either spun thread, which is kind of a shinui, or pressed felt, which is kind of a shinui. Tanur Rabbanan, hanotein orot l'avdan. We have the same issue. You're giving in now raw skins to a tanner. Okay, the tanner again, he's going to cut off little pieces. So then hakitsu'in vatilushin shalom. The edges that have to be cut off in order to make it smooth, that's his. Furthermore, little pieces of wool that are still left on the skins also are the balabait. But the ola, that is mishatev b'mayim, are elu shalom. That's things that he actually cuts off directly from the piece of skin. But those things that come off in washing, so that's Rashi here says ha'ole min hashet. That which comes out in the wash, which is not something, I mean, there's a tiny little pieces that come off, yeah, that he's going to wash off. I mean, not that he's cutting off and so on. That, certainly the balabait is not makbid on, and that belongs to the tanner. Then the Mishnah said, if the edges were black on white, then you could take it out. It says, Rabbi, you know, katsra shmei, you call the guy, the dry cleaner, the washerman, is called a katsra in Aramaic. There's another tongue-in-cheek Gemara that says he's called a katzra because they always shrink things. So they're making it katzar from where it was. That's very cute. But the other approach is he's called a katzra because he's allowed to take that piece of that's sticking out over there because he's makatzim and abegan and keeps it. Now others learn that the word for the serge was called katzra. The piece, the edging of the material, that's the different shape, we've got the thick arev, that's called katzra because it's meant to belong to the katzra. This is the other way around. Amrev Yehuda, kol olim laminya tchelet. You should know that those pieces of threads on the edge, if the koves who did the job to get the thing ready does not cut them off, then when you're counting the size of the beged, you're supposed to leave on the edge of the beged between the hole and the end, the kesher, it's supposed to be the size of your thumb, you count that piece so that you don't have to go all the way up to the beged. If the katzra didn't remove the katzra of the oruch, then that's part of the beged. But, you know, that's for the not from people. Yitzchak Bri, I mean, the next generation, always more machmer, you know. So my son Yitzchak, he's machmer on that. I don't know. He's machmer because he's not sure, so he leaves the extra space. But that's for the Or Sameach guys. But, you know, the minag has been, you know, the Yikra did, you can count that in. Hachayat Sheshiyera Tachut. So it says if there's enough chut there to use for sewing, then it belongs to the homeowner. But what is that shear? Because as I was over there, he's supposed to be leaving enough to sew. The kamalit for Omer Avasi, well, the amount that he would have to leave is meloa machat and vechutz lemachat. I mean, look, it's got to be obviously long enough for you to get the needle out, you know, be able to put it through. I'm sure all of you have had the experience trying to sew in a button, and then when you get to the last little piece, there's not enough to push the needle through. And so, you know, for a man, you can get stuck with that kind of thing. So over here, you need enough that it's as long as the needle, because otherwise you're not going to be able to do much of it. And plus, now, Iboilu, does that mean meloa machat v'chutz l'machat meloa machat? Does that mean the length of the needle plus another length of the needle to be able to pull it through again? Or you're just saying meloa machat and then something chutz l'machat? Well, Toshma, the Tanya. Hachayat sheshiyera tachut, pachot michtei litvorbo. If there's less than is sufficient to sew, or you left a piece of material, matlit, which is less than shalosh al shalosh, so bizman shebalabayit makpida lehem arelo shebalabayit. If, now, the balabayit says, I want that, or we know that he's makpid, so then he gets the key. Ein balabayit makpida lehem arelo shalosh. Now, come on, I mean, yeah, b'shalem b'mlo ha-machat v'chutz l'machat kim lo ha-machat. So if the original shear that is always meant to go to a balabayit is large enough that it's two sizes of a needle, so it's one time the machat plus another one time the machat. By the way, this is an exact paraphrase of the Gemara in Chulin that talks about shechita. If it's kim lo ha-sakin and then plus mashu, or kim lo ha-sakin plus the sakin. Over here it's meloa machat, chutz l'machat. So then you could say, and if it's a little bit left, what good is a little bit less? I'll tell you what good it is. Sichta. That's the whole point. Remember, we've got these little loops that you've got to sew at the very edges. So over there at the very edges, you don't have to go through again. Okay, so there in Okinami. At least it makes sense that the balabayit would want it. If it's less than a sheer meloa machat plus a whole other machat, it could be meloa machat plus something. It's still useful. But if the shear, the original shear, is meloa machat and only chutz l'machat masharu, so then if you don't even have that, you can't even get the needle through the first time. What the heck would anybody want that amount of thread for? So l'may chazi. El shmamina meloa machat v'chutz l'machat kimloa machat. The shear is double the needle length. That's the shear. If he leaves less than that, it's still the royal asichta. If the balabayit insists on that, he can keep that too. Shema Mina, and that is the shiur.